Unit 8. Part 1. How the British spend their holidays. Nearly all British people in full-time jobs have at least 4 weeks' holiday a year, often in two or three separate periods. The normal working week is 35 to 40 hours, Monday to Friday. People who have to work in shifts with unsocial hours are paid extra for the inconvenience. More overtime is worked at extra pay than in most other Western European countries, but there is relatively little moonlighting, that is, independent work for pay in leisure hours. Another way of saying this is that the black economy, involving work paid privately in cash and not officially recorded or taxed, is relatively small. There are only 8 official public holidays a year, only one of them in the 6 months before Christmas. None of them celebrates anything to do with state or nation, though the first Monday in May was made a bank holiday by a recent Labour government as the British holiday in honour of working people. The most obvious and traditional British holiday destination is the coast. No place in the country is more than 3 hours' journey from some part of it. The coast is full of variety, with good cliffs and rocks between the beaches. But the uncertain weather and cold sea are serious disadvantages. Also, 2 weeks in a hotel room with balcony and private bath can now cost less in Spain or Greece, with flights included, than the same in a British hotel. Most of the hotels in the numerous seaside resort towns were built in the railway age, between 50 and 100 years ago, and seem not to be used as much by people going to conferences as by those on holiday. Going to a conference can be a sort of holiday, even in working time and with expenses paid.
1. How long is the annual holiday for nearly all British full-time employees?
2. How many hours are there in a normal working week?
3. What does moonlighting refer to?
4. How many official public holidays are there in 1 year in Britain?
5. Which of the following is not a disadvantage for holidaymakers at a British seaside resort? Part 2. Holiday Plans.
Well, I'm off tomorrow. I'm leaving tomorrow. Great holiday.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Where are you going?
Italy. Tell us more. Well, I'm leaving at 8 tomorrow morning.
From here?
Yes, driving to Gatwick. So that's about an hour or so. I'm arriving at the airport 9 o'clock and taking off 10 o'clock. Going on a cultural holiday. This is what I've wanted to do for a long time.
Yes.
The usual sort of thing is lying on a beach, but this is going to be a bit different.
Yes, you don't like to do that, do you?
No. So I'm hoping to do some museums, art galleries, taste a bit of the food and the drink and the lifestyle of Italy. I've always wanted to go there. I've got a whole list of, you know, museums and art galleries. And in fact, I'm hiring a car in Milan, so I can drive around a bit. I can leave Milan and go south if I get bored with that city, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, that's not really my cup of tea at all for a holiday. No, I don't think I'll be doing that this year.
What are your plans then, Barbara?
Well, I'm not sure. I may go somewhere. Well, I don't know. I may go to Tenerife. I just want something, you know, where I can just relax, lie in the sun for 2 weeks and come back, you know, looking fantastic. But I'm not sure where I'm going to go. I might go to Tenerife. I might go to Greece, you know. I haven't really made up my mind.
So you're not a cultural vulture like myself?
Oh, no. I mean, I like watching programs on the television, you know, but when it comes to walking around museums for your holiday, no, that's not for me at all. I'm far happier, you know, drinking up the old sunshine on the beach there.
Yes, I agree about that, actually.
Dropping into a bar at, you know, lunchtime, back on the beach. What about you, Mike? What's your plans?
Well, I'm quite happy to stay in England.
Really?
Yes.
What about the weather?
Weather's no problem.
A brave man.
I'll take it as it comes, yes, sure. No, I shall head off north to the Lake District as I usually do. I'm going at the end of term.
Nice.
I've got a week free.
Have you got something booked?
Yes.
What sort of thing?
Small cottage.
Nice.
self-catering. Like to do that. Don't trust anybody else's food.
No.
So I shall do that.
And what... You'll be going out every day walking?
Right. That's the routine.
But what about if it's really raining, or...
Well, if it's raining really hard, if it's really chucking it down, I'll go out in the car, perhaps. But I really don't mind. I really don't mind going out in bad weather.
But you go out rain or shine?
I don't mind. Yes. No, I've got the equipment. I don't mind. In fact, it's often more exciting if the weather's a bit wild. Wind, rain, all that business? The elements, you know.
Well, I wish you luck. It's not my scene at all.
Nor mine, I'm afraid, no.
Part 3. Visiting India. Well, I'm planning a trip. Now, you've just been to India. I know you've been to India, Julia. This is where I'm thinking of going.
You lucky girl. I wish I could go again.
Now, whereabouts would you suggest that is the best part to go?
Well, there's only one part that I've been to, and that's up in the north. Most of the time I was in Kashmir, in Srinagar. And Julia, you were in the same place.
I was in Srinagar too, yes.
I know you went like a month ago.
Yeah.
So that was in July. When did you go?
I went in the... over the Christmas period in 83-84.
Right. And if I went to the northern part that both of you recommend and have been to, is the weather greatly different near Christmas and...
Yes, it gets quite cold there in the winter. It's very cold there in the winter.
Yes, extremely cold.
What about... But if you go in the summer,
Yes, it's quite nice in the summer, because when it's really hot on the plain up in Srinagar, it's in the hills, and that's where people go to get away from the heat of places like Delhi.
What about the food? Did you...
Oh, it's wonderful food.
But, did you... I mean, people always think India, oh God, you know, it's so hot. You have to eat the curries very hot because that's...
Never had a hot curry.
No.
They were all perfectly possible to eat.
Very edible, yeah.
Oh, right.
And Kashmiri food is very good and very mild. One of the best things I had was pumpkin in a yogurt sauce.
Their vegetables are beautiful. They grow an awful lot of them. Did you see a lot of them growing? Greens, spinach?
Spinach was in season. Oh, I loved the pureed spinach.
Mmm.
If you had knew somebody who was going just for a week, how would you advise them to spend their, what things are absolutely unmissable, around that area?
Well, we were told...
You only had 4 days, didn't you?
Yes, we were only there for 4 days, but we packed the 4 days with trips and sightseeing trips. And we went to see Pahalgam, which was a wonderful trip, just a little mountain town nestling in the foot of the Himalayas. But it was about 100 kilometers away from Srinagar, but the scenery was just out of this world.
There's a museum, which is in what was the Maharaja's palace.
That's well worth a visit, the museum.
Yes.
What about, didn't you say something about before, about some gardens?
Oh, the gardens, yes.
There are dozens of Mughal gardens.
What are the Mughals?
Shalimar. Oh, Mughal.
Mughal. That was from the Mughal period. That was, what, 18th century?
Yes.
The Mughal emperors built these gardens, and they have a...
Very formal.
Yes. There's a pattern to all of them. They're on several levels, terraces. They're terraced.
Yes.
And there's a water channel going through the middle.
And lots of fountains.
Mm-hmm.
And very formal flower beds.
And
huge trees.
What about, sort of bargains that you should look out for to...
Oh, wow. Kashmir.
Everything.
Silk.
Oh.
We went into a silk shop, and inside it was just a glimmer of silk of every color you could think of. It was absolutely beautiful.
And did you get tempted to bring back things you couldn't possibly carry? Or?
Oh, yes. I brought back a bedspread. Cotton, quilted, but beautiful soft cotton, and so much handwork done.
I'll tell you another thing.
Honey.
I bought and couldn't bring back with me.
Honey.
Wonderful honey and cashmere.
I bought a rug, a lovely Kashmiri rug. They have factories and rug shops all over the place, don't they? I've thought of something else which is well worth buying if you buy small pieces, and that's wood carvings. Cigarette boxes and bowls. Well worth looking at.
Are they the sort of things that you see sometimes with mother-of-pearl inlaid? Do you know?
I didn't see any like that. This was just pure maple from the maple trees around the place. But in Delhi, there was a lot of wood carving with the little mother-of-pearl inlay.
The other thing that Kashmir is famous for is the papier-mâché.
Oh, yes.
Beautiful little boxes and...
What else?
Trays.
Trays, yes. Cocktail mats in their own box, all to match. They use gold leaf for painting some of those, don't they?
Yes.
And you can actually watch it being done by...
Part 4. Pre-Holiday Tips. This is the Daily News Travel Information Line with 6 pre-holiday tips. When you're preparing for a holiday, you should first and foremost make a list of all the documents you'll need. Your list should include the following things: passport, make sure that this is a current visa, check the visa requirements for the countries you're visiting, tickets, travel insurance certificate, foreign currency, and traveler's checks. You'll also need your driving license if you plan to rent a car. Tip 1. It's vital to arrange travel insurance for your trip, and your travel agent will probably offer it to you when you book. If you lose your baggage or your money, or if you need medical attention while you're away, your travel insurance will help to meet the costs. But be warned, if you're planning a skiing holiday, you'll have to pay an additional insurance premium. Tip 2. It's not a good idea to travel with large amounts of cash. Only carry the amount you'll need for day-to-day expenses, such as taxis, bus fares, and food. Traveler's checks are a far safer way of carrying money round, because you can get a refund if you lose them or if they're stolen. You'll need to order them from your bank in advance, and remember that banks abroad will charge a small commission when you cash them. Tip 3. If you're hoping to do some sightseeing, it's best to buy a guidebook before you go. Otherwise, you may have to pay the earth for something which is badly translated and barely understandable. If you don't speak the language, take a phrasebook as well. It could be very useful if you get into difficulties and may help to break the ice with the locals. Tip 4. When you're packing, be careful to stick to the airline's baggage allowance, or you'll have to pay for the excess weight when you check in. Don't put aerosol sprays in your case, and make sure any sharp objects, like scissors, are carefully wrapped. Two useful pieces of equipment to take with you are an all-purpose adapter and a light traveling iron. Tip 5. If you are flying a long distance, there are a few things you can do to reduce the effects of jet lag. Before you leave, try to adapt your eating and sleeping habits to the time zone you are traveling to. If you eat small amounts through the day and try to sleep for short periods, it may be helpful. During the flight, walk around the cabin from time to time and drink plenty of water to cut down dehydration, which causes exhaustion. Tip 6. Finally, it's wise to give the keys of your house to a neighbor or relative
so that they can get in case there's an emergency. Ask them to remove any post from your letterbox, and don't forget to cancel any deliveries of milk or newspapers. Leave the telephone number of the hotel you are staying in, and call to let them know your room number when you arrive, so that if they need to get in touch with you, they won't have problems tracking you down. Thank you for calling the Travel Information Line. Part 5. Listening and Translation. A. Sentence Translation.
1. Today about 20% of American children live with only one parent. One of the reasons for this is the increasing number of women who have children without being married.
2. For the first 10 months of this year, bilateral trade volume was $4.1 billion, which is a 25% increase over the same period of last year.
3. Globalization obliges all nations, small or large, rich or poor, to take part in a continuous process of adjustment.
4. History is a river that may take us as it will, but we have the power to navigate, to choose direction, and make our passage together.
5. Child labor is just one symptom of the crushing poverty in the world, which deprives children of their basic right to education and freedom.
B. Passage Translation.
1. Police said that about 500 homes were washed away by floods after a typhoon struck the west coast of the island yesterday, bringing driving rain and winds of up to 80 miles per hour. The typhoon flooded wide areas of the island and crippled communications and power supplies. All domestic flights were canceled yesterday, and the international airport was closed for about 5 hours. Government radio reported that 2 passenger ferries had been sunk but gave no details of casualties. The work of emergency relief teams is being hampered by blockade roads and the loss of power and telephone communications in central regions. It will be some time before we hear the final casualty figures.
2. Let's look at my team in more detail then. As you can see, I have a commercial director, a medical director, and then there are 3 unit directors. 2 of them are responsible for domestic sales and 1 for foreign sales. But the interesting thing about these units is the work groups. As you can see, one unit has 3 work groups and another has 4. These groups have a lot of advantages. Firstly, each one works in a different medical field, so they can develop the necessary specialized knowledge. Secondly, it's very motivating for the staff. Each group is a separate profit center. They are totally in control of their own budgets, so they have a lot of responsibility.